These are actual clients. Hello?
Hello, it's Rob. Daryl?
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good. How are you, everybody?
Doing well. How are you doing? Hello? You got a dog in there or something? Hello, Rob?
Really?
Yeah, that's
Chantel said you have an elephant. she's very free with her description of what she is. Okay, Rob, we want to introduce you to Tina Boatwright. Tina is 99% certain to be our new admin person, senior admin, when Jerry becomes a wealth advisor, the WAA program.
Awesome. Wonderful. Okay. Nice to meet you, Tina.
You too, Rob.
All right. So you got you have all of us in here, Jerry, Chantel, Pop, me, and Keisha. So we've done a lot of homework. I don't know where you want to start. You want me to start or you want to start?
No, you start. That's what we'll do each week is you report in on how you did for the week based on the homework that we were given, and then I'll answer any questions, and then we'll go on.
Okay. All right. Well, we took a good look at segmentation because that's the biggest challenge that we have. And we have narrowed our clients where we want to go, but we've had some difficulty. And we have looked at the book, and we have 104 clients that we will call our VIP clients. And then we have I know you're going to say something, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true. We have 112 butlers. Why are you laughing? Rob, that's not funny. But we have 112 butlers, and we have 57 who we're reassigning. We have some simple plans that we have to figure out what to do with. There aren't that much. We're not talking about a lot of dollars. Then we have a few, like 10 that we're making decisions on. So, the issue, let me tell you why. First of all, the reassignment, the 57 people that we're looking to reassign, have a total of a little under $5 million and, produce $46,000 in revenue. So that's, you know, that's an easy one. We looked at those who trust us, those who don't trust us, those who just don't have the assets to, so that we can serve them properly. Here's the issue that we have also. We're getting part of this, we're splitting your fee in half, for the first 6 months with the region. And the region will then gauge our success on the assets that we have as well as the revenue. And our thoughts, if we give too much, and we have, you know, some of the smaller accounts are being, right now, are in Chantel's number, which gives her a total of about 9,000 in something like that, 8,000-9,000 in revenue. Something like that.
Would it be all of that?
Well, let's say six or seven thousand in revenue. And so if we give them out, then her revenue, we've got to figure something else out. So this was the quick, easy way of going through the first filtering system and then going through another filtering system, after talking with you. So here's where we are.
Okay. Good. You know where
okay.
you are. That's important.
Okay. Now, let me, before you interject and slap us around a little bit. We have, you asked us to look at the 20%, the top 20% that we were going to keep. And we looked at the number right now between Chantel and I and then soon Jerry, 216 total people, and so the top 20%, we looked at them and the target minimum is, $2.5 million.
Right, okay.
Which is exactly what you said earlier. It's almost like you knew what you were talking about. and then the absolute minimum, with the total, of the 216, we're looking at, 912,000, so right at a million.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you have heartburn if we put that number at 750?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're listening. We're listening. You the coach. Talk.
All right. So exactly. This is not unusual to have this kind of result. So it's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, you're fine. You're doing great. The 104 produced how much in terms of revenues, and what percentage of your practice do they represent?
It looks like about a third, huh? 104. How many total? I didn't use my calculator. They produce about a third of the clientele that we currently have, and they produce, $917,000 in revenue.
Okay, and what percentage is that of the total?
Of the total revenue?
About 85%, 90%. Let me see, let's look at this. Hold one second, I'm sorry.
It's 1/1.
Come on, get out of here. All right. Okay. So 917, 191 over 83%.
83%. Okay.
Yes.
So that would fall into the 80-20 rule, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And so the 112 accounts represent what percentage of your revenues?
All right. All right, 128, 830, 103. You're asking very good questions here. 11.11%, 11.6.
And there, what percentage of your? They're 11% of your revenues, and they represent more than 50% of your accounts.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just math, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, we weren't using just math. That was the issue. We were, you know, part of us
heart.
We had heart. It wasn't just head, it was heart.
Yeah. But just, you know, we want to make, every time we make a decision, we want to know the facts. And then we can make a better decision based on the facts. Okay, so all your business really, I mean, is in these 116 clients represent really the majority of your business. That's 94% of your business, right?
Wait a minute, you said 216.
I mean 216, right.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people will be actually calling clients?
Well, right now it'll be two, right?
And Keisha.
Yeah. Well, Keisha will call, but Keisha has to call them to set up the appointments, but the meetings.
The meetings.
That's two.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be two right now, and then when will you'll be able to call? Will you be able to call at all?
After
your license. So in about 3 months, there'll be three of us calling.
Okay.
Well, Jerry's focus now. Jerry's focus is going to also be on plans, doing the plans. So, one of the requirements is, you know, that I remember is that everybody has to have a plan. So she'll be doing that. So how does that factor into the calling?
Well, initially, that's quite a bit of work. So when you're doing your time allocation, you figure, okay, that's going to represent anywhere from 10 to 20 hours of work per client. And so when you're, you know, just trying to figure out where the time's going to come from.
You said 10 to 20 hours. Are you speaking of annual? What are you speaking of? 10 to 20 hours? What do you mean?
Yeah, it takes a long time to do a plan. People don't give it enough credit, you know.
So 10 to 20 hours to do the plan is what you're speaking of?
And execute the plan, you know. Take down the information, go back and do the plan, come back and present the plan, then have meetings and execute on the plan. That takes time.
Okay.
For a client, I see.
Yeah.
So Supernova by itself takes about 6.5 hours per client. You add planning to it, it comes up, you know, now you're adding 10 to 15 hours to that. So you want to you don't want to do all your plans at once.
Right.
Okay, so you want to spread them out and try and do so many per month in order to not kill yourself.
Okay, you going to give us some parameters?
Yeah, we're going to figure out how much time you're going to have. That's based on how many clients you're going to take care of and then who else can help you.
Okay.
So the average client that is a butler is producing how much? You got the calculator there.
Yeah, I do. All right, hold on. I'll tell you. How much are they producing? Looks like a little over. All right, hold on. 1,150 a year.
Right.
Really?
That's what I was. About $1,000 each. Would you make about how much on those? What are you paid on that $1,000?
About 40%.
So you're making $400. For six, you know, for let's say 5 hours work. On a butler.
Okay.
Is that working?
I see where you're going. Okay. Okay. Wow. Wow, that's heavy.
That is very.
Okay.
I mean, we can't make more mowing lawns, but pretty close.
Okay. Okay. So you want us to go mow their lawns, too, to make up the lawn. Okay. I got you. Okay. Huh.
So ideally, how many butlers should we have
None.
Okay, ideally.
No butlers. Ideally, no butlers.
I got you.
Well,
but
the max would be 20%.
For transitional planning, that we should have butlers for those that, you know, like the children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Some of the butlers are children, right?
Yeah. But there's a lot
that are the much smaller accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
we don't really want, I mean, as much as you may love these people, we really don't want the children of clients that don't produce much, okay?
Right.
Yeah, right, but their parents produce a lot, the ones that we have as butlers that are children.
No, what you do is you simply take the production of the parent and divide it by the number of children. That tells you whether it meets your minimum or not.
Oh.
All right, walk me through that. Say that again slower. You get it?
They just take the final parent.
Let's look at one. Let's look at a parent. Who we want to look at?
Let's look at Richardson.
Okay, Richardson. All right. Okay, Richardson.
Which
would be? Yes, number 176. So
Johnson and his wife. And then you got the two Ruths. That's four.
Do we have any other children?
We probably have IS because of that, too, so make that five.
No, no, that's a whole other family.
But
No, we ain't including that. Because because we had him way before IS. Okay, so then we look at Richard Rue, which has, what are we looking at, just the money part of it?
Either the assets or the production, one or the other.
Okay, well, let's look at the assets. So we got $3 million. Let's see.
And you said divide by the number of children?
Yep, three children, million each. Meet your minimum.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yes,
even if you, two children, so
okay.
Yeah, it's a million each.
Mm-hmm.
A million and a half each.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Interesting.
I like that. That's very interesting.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Now, you take a client with a million divided by 10 children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not bad. Okay.
And then
by the time they're done paying off the house and buying that Mercedes, it's over.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Right.
So you spent years nurturing them, doing work and not getting paid. Then when they settle, the parents pass, they get the money, it's gone. It's spent.
Okay.
So, you know, all firms always want us to capture the next generation, but they don't do the math.
Uh-huh.
See, we can do the math. We can spend the time to do the math and figure out what we really have.
Right. Well, the firm doesn't mind, because the firm can send them to the call center. The firm doesn't mind.
During the life of the parents, you know, with the 10 children, you take great care of the parents, but unless one of the kids hits, you know, does real well, you got to let them go to the bank or something.
Right. Okay.
Just think of it as one level of service, that we're going to give extraordinary service. We're not going to have two levels or three levels of service. We're just going to have extraordinary level of service.
Wow.
And so, unfortunately, we can only give it to so many people.
Right.
And if you had 104 clients and you're able to divide that up with two people, you're able to have plenty of time for your practice, for your family, for your team, and to grow.
Okay.
So it's okay to have a few butlers, but it's not okay to dump everybody in the butler category.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Typically, when you do this, when you have teams go through this, what happens is that they drop that the assets are reduced as well as the revenues reduced, right?
Here's what you know, when I first did my first presentation in Boston after I started my consulting company, they asked me that question about four times. On the fifth time they asked it, I said, now I've answered the question four times. Let me tell you this, all right? No one ever, since I've been coaching Supernova, and that's now, that was, you know, 15, 20 years when I talked to them. Now it's been 30 years. No one has ever ended up with less assets or less production.
Mm-hmm. Over what period of time?
Over 30 years.
No. I mean, I'm speaking of, you know, okay, so what we're looking at is that if we do this, you can hear me. If we do this,
in the year that we were working together, or in the next year, or in the next year.
So, and after 2 years.
No, and even in the year that I was working, no one has ever come back to me and said, "Rob, now this has happened when we've gone to annuitized business. Guys would have a drop in their business.
Okay,
and they'd come back." Because they were doing more transactions than they were annuitized business. They were probably operating at 2% when they were doing transactions. They drop down to 1%, they get a drop in their business. I've never had anybody come back to me and say, Rob, my business is down, or I have less assets.
Okay.
Anytime, ever, in coaching.
Okay.
All right, now, what happens is this. When you spend more time with your best clients, you're going to get more assets.
Okay.
You're also going to do more business. Now, you may have perfect relationships where you have 100% of the assets and you get 100% of their business.
Okay.
But you'll be the first one.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And
yeah.
You will get introductions to people that you probably wouldn't have had time for or been referred to in the past.
Okay.
And we're going to start on acquisition right away. So we don't wait until we've done Supernova to begin the acquisition process.
Okay.
Now, I'm okay, you know, keeping some of your bigger butlers around for a while. That's okay.
Okay.
The idea,
okay.
When you bring in a big account, you get rid of four little ones. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't say get rid of. Can you just say replace? Thank you.
Find a better home for.
Yeah. That sounds so much better.
I know. I understand the psychology of it, and the reason the reasons firms used to hire me is because I deal with the issue, and you'll never hear a manager come in and really deal with the issue because they just they're afraid of. It's just too hot. Me, I'm just, I'm pretty, you know, how do I say it? I'm kind of tough on you on that subject because, you know what? It's an emotional issue that goes away, and I've seen it go away for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that those people really want somebody to take care of them. They may like you, but they don't need you. They need a person like you that will take care of them.
Okay.
There are very few people with less than $1 million that desperately need us, okay? A person with $10 million needs us.
You're right. I was just thinking it's going to be easier than I think because we can tell. There are people that we haven't talked to.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to them.
Right.
And so
what we always say is every client deserves to be somebody's A client.
Right.
So you give them to somebody else or, you know, hopefully there is somebody that you can give them to that'll treat them well. And the call centers do a good job.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Wow. Okay, so then our homework for the next time is to see which butlers we'll keep, and maybe we move a few people up who we consider borderline up to the VIP,
right.
Because they may have more assets. They might, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
Okay. Okay, then we'll
you know, move some out now. You know, it's like your clothes. If you don't wear them for a year, you should give them to somebody that will wear them.
You heard that, Keisha?
Really?
That was a good idea. Good idea. Mm-hmm. Or we need to build a new closet.
No, we don't build new closets.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, you can. And here's when you might start building a new closet. At this point, no. But
right.
When you get and you raise your minimum to $2 million, absolute minimum, and have a $3.5 or $4 million target minimum, then it might be worth it to take those clients that are generating between $1 million and $2 million and hire somebody to take care of them.
Okay. How do you handle this? And maybe you'll get into this later, but how do you handle clients? We picked up some clients in anticipation of what they will have. Maybe they have $1 million rollover. They're going to be retiring in the next 3 years, but they don't have the assets with us right now. So those would fit into the butler category.
Yes.
Say that again.
They're a prospect.
So we don't take them on. Let's say if somebody, and I'm asking two different questions. But if we have someone that's referred to us, in anticipation of, you know, larger amounts of money, and they say, look, I want you to invest this $100,000 for me while we wait. What do we do with situations like this?
12 months.
12 months.
Give them 12. Only if it's 12 months are in?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I'm sure you go ahead.
If it's going to happen in the next 12 months, you bring it in, make them a butler. And that's reasonable. What happens okay. is you get into the 3-year deal, and now we just have too many clients, okay? And it becomes unwieldy. We turn them into a butler, but we don't take their assets.
Oh. So we drip them until the assets come in within that 12 months?
Yeah. We do a little mini financial plan. And we call them quarterly.
And we keep up with their assets somewhere else?
Yeah, keep up with their assets.
So if they go over to Merrill with $100,000, and you go on to Merrill,
you send them to Vanguard or something, or you send them someplace where you're not going to have competition for consulting.
Okay. All right. I got you. Okay.
No,
okay.
Put them in an index fund, you know, that you guys have access to.
Okay.
That's just what.
And put them in one. And put them in one view.
Okay.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's good. That's a plan. Y'all write that down, because that's a plan. That's a good plan.
For the Monica type people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
So we're going to build our inventory of prospects, and we're going to have no more than 90 in that.
90 prospects.
Yep.
Good.
Max. 90 prospects is the max. We can't have more than that.
Okay.
We're going to build our inventory of those people, and they're going to get quarterly calls.
Okay.
So the scheduler, which you either have or you're going to have.
We have one.
Yeah, so it has a place for prospects. So you make a folder for them. You drop them into the scheduler, and you treat them as if they're an existing butler.
No, we don't have a scheduler. I thought you were talking about Keisha. I'm sorry.
It's the technology. We built a technology that allows you. It's really an Excel spreadsheet on steroids that allows you to drop clients' names in and automatically populate your calendar.
And you have that, or we are to create one?
No, that's what you pay for.
Okay.
Okay. I have a question for you. Will it allow you to drop more than the 20% in there?
A butler. Is there like a maximum amount of people that can go into the scheduler?
Well, your calendar will max out. That's the problem.
True.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That is what will max out.
Okay.
All right. So we have straight new butlers out here.
Okay. Okay. So we need to get down to Federal Reserve just raised interest rates.
50 butlers.
Mm-hmm. We got to get to how many?
50 butlers.
50?
That's what we originally said we wanted.
How many VIPs? Under 50?
Yeah.
We need to have 200 people. 200 people total that we're contacting.
Yeah.
Total.
Total max.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Right now we're in
200. The number.
We actually a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
yeah.
The ratio.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So there are some other butlers we need to get reassigned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either reassign or remove them.
No, we need
to. Kind of pretend you just took on another job and you have no time. Mm-hmm. The best people to do Supernova are always the people that take on management responsibilities for, like, running the office. And they say, look, Rob, my time just got cut in half. I have to do Supernova now.
Yeah.
They're the perfect candidates. And, by the way, their production never goes down.
Okay.
It may go down because they don't put the time in, but it doesn't go down because they eliminate the small accounts.
Okay.
They just become very, very efficient.
Okay. I have another question, and this is just to cut across the field, and because I know you got some other things that we need to talk about. But one of the things that we do workshops, dinners, et cetera. If we have 90 prospects, what is your recommendation about doing the dinners, or doing the workshops? We do workshops where we invite clients to give them updates on, some critical areas that we think that they need to think about and to make sure that they have the right financial information, to cut through the smoke that they might hear on TV, as well as to enlighten them on what's to be expected in retirement, et cetera. But if we're limiting who we're taking in, what does that mean for the workshops that we have? Do we just do it for the clients, ask them to bring a prospect? And if you tell me that we're going to go over that later, then that's all I need to hear.
Well, it's a good question, and it's one that, a friend of mine, one of the guys that worked for me was a very, very good FA, and he said, I asked him what he wanted to do for the year. He said, I want to bring in 15 new doctors. I said, okay, what are you doing to get those 15 doctors? He said, well, I'm doing seminars. I said, seminars for who? He said, seminars for the general public. And I said, so how's that going to get you doctors?
Yeah, that's what you talk about.
And he said, I don't know. So the question is your marketing aligned with your goals?
Okay. Gotcha.
It may be perfect, but it may not be. If it's generating accounts not relationships, or they're small accounts, then clearly it isn't working. If it's so, you may be good at it, and, mm-hmm. and you may do it, but you may want to just change your audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So
okay.
we want to just like we've looked at our practice with fresh eyes, we want to look at our marketing with fresh eyes and say, is our marketing aligned with our goals and objectives?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And everything that I teach you will be designed to get the clients that you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. We're not doing a broad brush. We're doing very targeted initiatives.
Okay.
I mean, just think of it as fishing. You know, fish where the big fish are. You don't fish where the small fish are.
Already know.
So it's common sense, but we just do what got us here. But what got us here probably won't get us to where we want to go.
Right.
We have to adjust. It's just, you know, it's like the knowledge you had in high school won't help you pass the test, you know, for advanced calculus in college. You just have it's a different business you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's been a great exercise. It's been, we're going to be continuing. We're going to do our part to get to where we need to be.
I would make a phone call to the region that made the deal with you, and I would say this to them. We are going to eliminate, we're going to do Supernova just as Rob has told us. And that's mm-hmm. going to mean we are reassigning, not getting rid of, we're reassigning to the call center and to other FAs this amount of assets. We want that subtracted from our baseline. Because we can't do Supernova unless we shrink our book.
Okay.
Right.
I think she's willing to listen. First of all, she's a fan.
Right. But sometimes people don't know what holds us back.
Right.
Yeah.
And that argument should never hold you back, that somehow you're going to be held accountable for assets that you're reassigning to the call center. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that shouldn't be on the table. You should get that off the table. Because what you're doing is going to make you a lean, mean machine that's able to prospect. Think about the way you prospected when you were beginning, when you knew nothing and had no experience. Right. Now you get unleashed. Think about it with your skills, knowledge, experience. Now you start prospecting like you are starting over. Think how much better you're going to do.
Yeah.
That's the organic growth that every firm is dying for.
Mm. Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to get some of it from our existing clients, and we're going to get some of it, most of it, from new relationships.
Okay.
Right. So just to cover quickly, I know you guys have watched the video, so you get the assignment for this week. We're defining butlers. Sample letters, thoughts from me, stair step to the stars. And this stair step to the stars is a concept that will be relevant as time goes on. As you move your minimum up over time, you will need a team in the office, or you'll hire somebody to handle the next level of FAs. your team minimum will rise, but that doesn't mean that you need to get rid of those clients if you have the capacity, okay? You just won't take in any clients that are that small. So that's the stair-stepping. You mean your minimum, your team's minimum is now $2.5 million. There may be a team that you're in the office that has $1 million minimum, then with one with 500,000, one with 250. Eventually, we hope to have all those teams trained to do Supernova so that when you have to assign somebody that's been spoiled by Supernova, they still get it. All right? So that's part of your, hopefully we get to do that. And so that's stair step to the stars. You talked about setting your min and your max. Week two, identifying your niches and your centers of influence. So this is very important. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of your top 20 prospects right now. You don't have to do it this minute.
Okay.
Top 20 prospects.
I thought we'd finish with this.
Yeah, we are.
Where are you in the book?
I'm not in the book right now.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Top 20. Top 20 prospects.
Right. Right. Okay. So I just want to know what your inventory looks like of prospects. Who are they? Do they have an assets? What condition is your prospecting? You know, what stage are you? So I just want to see. There's
on life.
It's
on life support, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. All right, so here's what we want to do. I want you to make a list now of we call them niches, all right? And this is, you have a natural niche or you have a target niche. All right, so I want you to make a list of by whatever number you have, niches that are natural niches. All right, so these are areas that, for I always use the example of if you work for Procter & Gamble, you start in business in Cincinnati, you have Procter & Gamble as a natural niche. People trust you, you speak the language of Procter & Gamble, that's a natural niche.
Okay.
If you were a CPA before you got in the business, that's a natural niche. CPAs, you like them, you talk their language. If you have any good, if you don't, fine. All right, so the next list is target niches.
You have a question? Can you pause 1 second, Ron? There's a question.
So we have a few clients that were athletes but became business owners. So, what would their niche be considered as?
You can do both of them.
Well, the question becomes, Gerald, were you an athlete? Were you a professional athlete or an athlete that?
Yeah, I was an athlete. They weren't smart enough to make me professional, but I was an athlete. Yeah.
You play college?
I did.
What'd you play?
Basketball.
Okay. So that's a natural niche for you then. So we put that.
Yeah, that's funny. I have one.
What's that?
Because I'm thinking of the athletes, we only have one basketball player, the rest of them are football players.
But that's okay. You relate to them. You know what they go through. Mm-hmm. So the basketball is a little more targeted than professional athletes, but it's really professional athletes slash basketball, because that one you could relate even more to.
Mm-hmm.
Any other natural niches?
Yeah. Now, for the team or for, like, as a whole? Yeah, individually?
Yeah, for the team or any, you know, you're all part of the team.
Yeah, churches. Churches are natural.
Yep. Okay, good. Any others?
Community work is a natural.
Community?
I'm thinking because you're on like a board, the diaper board, that's natural to me.
Or Gerard, are we looking at the clients that we have now or just natural?
At a natural niche that would produce the kind of clients that we're looking for.
Clients we're looking for. Okay. I'm thinking.
So you can't get over that. It's something to get educated.
We put education in natural. natural niches. I mean, I think we all are very different people.
From Libya and natural because we have teachers.
Yeah. So that's fine. You have a couple is good.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of
good. But of those, you.
He ain't got no business though. Gail is a teacher, but only because she worked at a corporation and then left there, and she had enough money to teach.
That's where a lot of the butlers are.
There's no money in the teacher.
You know what
I'm saying?
But I think retirement plan.
But that's
the educators are the that's the niche, and we have educators.
Yeah, how many educators are in Green?
That's a niche, but it just doesn't qualify. It's not a qualified niche.
let's look at the Green.
Well, we looked actually. We're talking about business owners.
Is a big
one. That's probably our biggest one.
That's
our
biggest.
Well, what about the company that you came from? Did that have money?
We didn't come from anywhere.
We've been through several names. We've all been pretty loyal.
Before you came to teaching, you said you came from.
I'm going to tell you an initiative we have that we don't think about, and that's with salespeople.
Oh.
You got Ron Mims. Who else is a salesperson? Richard Jackson. Richard Jackson's a salesperson. Robin Graham's a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Who else salespersons? Chris Williams, Laura. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they sell?
Yeah, they sell. They sell insurance.
Bosco.
Mm-hmm. Bosco. That, yeah.
So that is sales. Sales is a niche that we have.
Interesting.
It is
very interesting.
I just thought about it. But we also have, how many attorneys do we have? Attorneys?
We have some attorneys, and doctors. Mm-hmm. We also have people that set in windfall,
that's a big thing.
Lottery and settlement.
Lottery, lawsuits, that's really, how many of those? We got a few of those, don't we?
And we got a new one that just came in.
Yeah.
We just got another one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, those are great. The lottery. I don't know how you prospect for lottery winners. You don't.
They just land in your lap. You just thank God. Let's see.
What's the general term used for them?
Sudden.
Lottery winners. Lucky people.
Okay. I would just say sudden windfalls.
Yeah.
Sudden windfalls. Yeah.
It's too broad. We can't prospect that. So.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can prospect the lawsuits though. You can prospect attorneys. And that's a great niche. Attorneys that trial attorneys that generate big settlements. That's, class action suits and things like that. So that's fine.
You going to help us with that?
I help you with that, yep.
Okay. All right.
So any particular kind of doctors? Are they oral surgeons? Are they...
They're just eclectic.
No, let's see, we got OBGYN, we've got dermatologists, we've got orthopedic. They're all over the place.
Is there one hospital that they come from, or what? Is there anything that they have in common?
Mostly private practice.
Yeah, they're private practice.
Okay. So nothing really in common except for that.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll just cover, I mean, we're not going to get into that. I want you to think about that some more and think if there's any that you left out. Now what we want to look for is inside each of those niches, is there a center of influence, a person that has sent you business that's a part of that niche?
Did we write the niches down? Who has them written?
Yeah. No. We need to come up with them.
So that's part of your homework, identifying a center of influence each inside each niche, and then we're going to build a business around those that niche and that person.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
We're gonna, instead of generally marketing and doing some things that you may have done in the past, we may still be good doing that. You know, client appreciation dinners and seminars, those are great. Prospecting randomly for people is very inefficient. When you're doing just a general seminar to the public. So we want to be much more targeted. We'd rather, if we're going to do that, we'd rather do that inside the niche that we're. So, for example, you might want to do a seminar for attorneys or do a seminar for a niche. We'll talk about that.
Okay. All right.
Now, the second piece is the whole concept of centers of influence. You have your natural centers of influence, again. These are people that like you, trust you, and send you business without you asking. Mm-hmm. So I want you to make a list of those. You probably have five of those, if not more. And then I want you to make a list of targeted centers of influence. And these would be targeted centers of influence are people that you can refer to. They're professionals. So we call them professional centers of influence or targeted centers of influence. All right, so they would be CPAs, attorneys, business brokers, commercial realtors, residential realtors, anybody that you can refer to, and they would refer to you. If you have them already, we want to know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So make a list of six of those.
Six professionals or six total?
Six people.
Natural, or five natural and six professional.
Okay.
Okay. So the idea is to get something down on paper and tell me where you are. So we're going to see where you are in terms of number of prospects, where you are in terms of your niches. So this gives us a baseline for your marketing effort.
And the prospects need to meet our new targeted minimum.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm just saying, who already has the prospects.
We're simplifying our lives by having these higher minimums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to spend time going after, you know, things we shouldn't go after. Because it takes just as long, frankly, to close.
Sometimes longer.
Yeah, a guy with $500,000 as it does with a guy with a lot of money. The guy with the money knows he needs you. And keep in mind that we, you know, the average client is 65. In 1972, when I got in the business, the average client was 65.
Wow.
They were worried then that our book was too old.
Really?
They're worried today that the book is too old. The truth is,
people
don't come to us till they need us. And they typically come to us when the money becomes larger than they're comfortable handling themselves.
Wow. Good. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Rob, I have a question for you, because I'm thinking about prospects, and we want a younger look, but the younger professionals right now, they don't meet IR minimum. But how do you cultivate that relationship?
You don't.
You don't?
No.
That has to do with, I'm going to let you finish, but does that have to do with branding?
Yeah, you don't want to waste your time. They don't have any money.
Right. So in order for them to come when they do have the money, then how do we get them in? And this was key.
Remember, nobody wants to play the public golf course. Everybody wants to play Augusta National. They know Augusta National is in the back of their mind. They ever get an issue?
Oh, let us play.
I know. I'm about to say, we can't play it.
They won't let us play, Rob. That's not our target group. Yeah, Condoleezza Rice, the only one can play.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He's not laughing.
Just saying.
Rob had a joke come there, how we?
Okay, Rob, go ahead.
Well, it's good. The point is well made. But anyway, the point is, you know, you want to be the place that nobody can get in. You know, you want to be the place people go when they have $5 million. There's a firm in Indianapolis that advertises, Foxford Financial. Our minimum is $5 million. They put it right on the front page of their website. Look it up. And people want to go there because they know the only people there are people with $5 million. So it has prestige as well as, you know, cachet and all that. So don't worry about not being there when the person has a small amount of money. You want the senior partner in the medical practice. You don't want the young guy. When I hired a guy from Northwestern Mutual Life. He was the number one salesman in his first year for Northwestern Mutual Life, and he had all the young doctors, and our minimum account size was to do consult was, you know, to really do it right, it needed $300,000. And he said, none of my clients qualify. I said, I know, but the senior partners in those practices do qualify. Those are the people you need to go get. He goes, oh, okay. And he went and got them. They're available. You just have to get them. Are they harder to get than the young guy? Sure.
Gotta go. Okay.
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 Get it?
Yep.
It's just a way of reframing your thought process. So you just have to constantly be framing your process around the idea that we'd love to take you, but we can't.
Mm-hmm.
As now we have somebody that's going to take good care of you.
Okay.
Okay. If somebody comes to you and you get that, you get somebody referring you to somebody, you meet with them, they clearly can't qualify, you don't turn them down. You reassign them to somebody that you trust in the office that can take care of them.
Okay.
And then you just make good deals with people, and you just I wouldn't split any of those accounts. I would give them away and just say, look, I'm going to keep doing this, but you've got to take good care of these people. If you don't, and I hear that you're not, you won't get another thing from me.
Okay.
All right? So you become the best client in the office to a few people. You don't want to do this the whole office, just a few people.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Can I switch gears real quickly?
Sure.
We have clients who have our VIP clients, part of the 104, who have siblings who are, you know, we've classified them as butlers simply because of the relationship with the clients. And we're concerned that if we reassign them, then it might be bad at Thanksgiving dinner or something, you know. So
yeah.
how do we deal with that?
You can make them a butler. I mean, that would be a case where you probably would make them a butler, practically speaking. You wouldn't give them 12-4-2. You certainly wouldn't give them 12-4-2. You might make them a butler as if they're the children of, but you try not to encourage that.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's good. That's
good
to know.
There's some practical things. Look, we are where we are. So there's some practical things. You know, the rule of common sense surpasses all other rules. So I don't
Amen.
Want you to do and then come back and say, you know, I just fired a center of influence that's referred half my business to me because he didn't meet the minimum. Well,
yeah.
No, you don't do that, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
You rule of common sense. So always say to yourself, does that, you know, it feels wrong. Is it wrong? And
mm-hmm.
just, you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to make a few exceptions. I just don't want you to make 112 exceptions.
Oh, okay. Realistically, what would be a good realistic number for us?
For butlers?
Yes.
How hard do you want to work? And if you want to come in on nights and weekends, God bless you.
Well, we're not doing that now, but and we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that.
So that's what your decision. When you look at a client, you look at him and say, "Do I want to come in on nights and weekends to call this person?"
So we need to look at the time that you want to be here
in
the office. And
yeah, you got to make your schedule up, and then you look at. That helps you. You know, the maximum number, you want to have no more than 70 clients and probably 30 butlers, practically speaking. You, Gerald. Okay?
Okay. So we're talking about 140 VIPs on the team and 60, no more than.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal then. Okay. No more than. That's the maximum. Ideally less than that, right?
Yeah, ideally less. I mean, the average financial advisor doing Supernova has 70 clients.
Wow.
And do how much business?
25 million? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, they all do, you know, they do. I had a guy that I started on Supernova. He was doing 800,000. He's doing 3 million now. Been 5 years.
Yeah,
70
clients?
He's still got 70 clients, yeah.
What? That's amazing.
He'll always have 70 clients.
Hmm.
Okay.
You never have more clients. You always have the same number. You just do more business. I had a gal that I started with, and she had 1,100 clients.
Hmm. 1,100
clients. And she was a very big producer, okay? one of the biggest for UBS. And she had a team. She had three other financial advisors working for her. We ended up with her having 40 clients, and her minimum was $25
million. What?
Wow.
25 million?
Oh, you know what happened? I called her and said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm doing awesome. It's great. I love this." But she said, "I still have a problem." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I'm still being referred too many clients." With a minimum of 25 million. See, the point is not what's your minimum. The point is, what is your prospecting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your pipeline? What's your niche? Her niche was oil companies.
Oh.
She's in Houston? Where is she, in Houston or Dallas?
She was in Baton Rouge area.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oil companies.
Okay. But remember, there's airplanes, right? So that could be your niche, too.
Mm-hmm. Airplane?
Wherever, you know, people say, well, I'm not in Silicon Valley. I'm not here. Well, I had a guy, Raj Bhatia, in Chicago, and he had a friend in Silicon Valley, actually a brother in Silicon Valley. So we opened an office in Silicon Valley with the San Francisco office. We didn't open actually the office. They already had an office. We just basically hired a guy with them, and so he had a practice in Silicon Valley and a practice in Chicago. And, you know, now he's one of the biggest producers at Merrill Lynch. I hired him at zero.
Wow.
So we know how to do this, but you got to, you know, you just have to open your mind to possibilities and just say, you know, the kind of the world is our practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not Columbus, you know, it's a big world. We can do business with professional athletes all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Good point. If we have less people, we'll have time to do it.
Actually, you've been saying that we need to do business outside of Columbia.
We sure do.
Because it's not the same money.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Right.
What we want to do.
Columbia.
So that's the way you want to start thinking. Not, am I going to lose assets? Am I going to lose production? It's, the question is, you know, if I got on the plane and went to see some of these people, could I develop others at, you know, where they are?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many of them could I get? Can I get 10 new athletes if I spent a lot of time doing it? Of course you could.
Spent a lot of time. You got to spend a lot of time doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prioritize your time and effort and focus on what you want, not on what you don't want.
Good.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Next week.
So that's our homework for next week.
I'm not gonna be here.
Yeah, we're gonna be in Minnesota next week. We might, and I don't know what our schedule is because we're gonna be dealing with some health stuff.
Okay. If you need to skip, call or just email Lori and tell her to just push it off a week.
Okay. Okay. All right.
We just skip the week. That's okay. You guys
okay.
can get no problem. Okay.
Okay. Thanks
a
lot.
So much,
Take
Rob.
Care, Rob. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.